Thank you, Jim. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you here again in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, actually, I could sit down and we could all go home. The example that Dylan has set this morning in choosing to follow Jesus Christ and take upon him that name is a sermon all in itself. And then the scriptures that were read by our brothers, that's going to be hard to top. But it is a lead-in, as a matter of fact. Dylan didn't know he was going to do this, but it's a lead-in to my sermon. What's our goal in life? Well, I suppose if you're in school, it's to graduate. If you're in a job, you'd like a promotion. It's to raise a family. It's to make money. It's to be successful. Those are short-term, temporary goals. What is our real goal in life? And Dylan showed us this morning. Our goal in life is to return to our Heavenly Father. Now, our first parents were thrown out of the Garden of Eden because of a mistake they made. They were taken from the presence of God, and so the process was put in place that this life that we are to live here on earth is a day of probation to get back to God, to do His commandments, be righteous, to avoid evil, and someday, to use the generic term, we'll reach that place in heaven with God, to spend life everlasting with Him. That is our goal. It's mine. I think it's Dylan's. He started on that journey this morning. But you know, during that life of probation here, the days that are ahead of Dylan, the days that are ahead of me, the days that are ahead of Jim, we have to do those things that will qualify us to live with God. I want to read a couple of scriptures for you because at the end of this life, we return to that God, that Maker, who put us here. And then at some future time, and we know not when, there will be a judgment. And it says in the Bible that every knee will bow and everyone will stand before the judgment bar of God to witness to Him that He is who He is. And at that time, judgment will be made. Did we have a righteous life or did we not? Were we saved or were we not? And so I'm going to read to you out of the first book of Nephi, chapter 4. Try to keep this short. Verse 52, "For the day shall come that they must be judged of their works, yea, even the works which were done by the temporal body in their days of probation." Now, this sermon is not a sermon about works versus faith. I suppose we could go into that, but I'm going to give you a generic definition. The works are your actions here on earth. It says in another place in the Bible that you will be judged even by the very things that come out of your mouth, whatever you say. You can't earn your way like merit badges into heaven, but you will be judged by what you have done. If you've been evil, if you've harmed someone, if you've chastised a brother, if you haven't done things that were right, that's not what Jesus Christ taught. Now I want to go to the book of Revelation in the Bible, chapter 20, verse 11. This is the judgment. "And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the small, and the great stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So you will see that the two scriptures match. This was given to John, the Isle of Patmos, and it says very definitely that however we behave, that's how we'll be judged. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now, in order to perform those works, we have to have faith in Jesus Christ. We have to have a belief. We have to have a reason. We have to have a goal. And I have a number of scriptures here, which I'm not going to read at this time, but I could, which match these. 2 Nephi says the same thing. John 12:48. It says, the Word will judge him in the last days. What is the Word? Jesus Christ and the scriptures he gave. 1 Peter 1:17. The Father judgeth every man by his works. Now I want to read you two scriptures, and then I want to pose a question. I want to go to 3 Nephi, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to read you verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, and now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he turned again to the multitude and did open his mouth unto them again, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, you judge not, that you be not judged. Now I want to go to Matthew. And I want to go to the 7th chapter. Verses 1 and 2. These are the words of Christ. In my Bible, it's in red. Should be in yours. It says, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Those scriptures give people a problem. And it's been impressed upon me that we perhaps don't really understand them in their context and what they say. It says, judge not that you be not judged. Now, I'm going to tell Dylan that in his days ahead, he's going to have to make many judgments. You're going to be presented with things that you're going to have to decide. Are they righteous or are they evil? Are they going to lead you down the wrong path or are they going to help you? And you're going to have to make that judgment. But it says here, judge not that you be not judged. Is that a contradiction? For instance, if you see a brother doing something that is wrong, and you may say to him, don't do that. That's not Christian. That's not right. You really shouldn't. That's going to get you into trouble. You have a problem. What happens? Human nature takes over, and that person that you said that to says, don't you judge me. It says in the scripture, judge not or you'll be judged. Isn't that what happens? It's the defense mechanism of human nature. Don't tell me what to do. So, do we have a conflict here in the scriptures or a conflict in our understanding of them? I want to read in Mosiah, if I can find it. second chapter. I could read the same thing out of the Bible, but I like the way this is worded, if I can find it. This is on page 222. It's second chapter of Mosiah, it's verse 37. And if you judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, and he perish, that he perish not, and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation? For withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth. And we could go to Galatians and a few other places in the Bible which says the same thing. The person who puts up his petition to you, the beggar, and human nature, don't we sort of look down on that person? We have a tendency maybe to condemn them or say, well, you brought that upon yourself, you lazy lout. You should go to work. You should do this or that or whatever. It says here that you are not to judge that man so for his petition for a substance. But if we go to Philippians in the Bible, and let's see, first chapter. Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses, maybe 8 through 10. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. This is the epistle of Paul to the Philippians. And this I pray, that you love, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Interesting term. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. That you may more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That knowledge and that judgment comes from the Word. It tells you how and what to do. I got to put the whole hour in 35 minutes, huh?
You got all the time you need.
Oh. They're looking worried, Jim. Let's look at the definition and the translation of words. We forget that both of these books were not given in our language. They were translated. The Bible went through a number of translations before we got it. Hebrew, then Greek, then Latin, and then, I'm not real sure what the Swiss speak, but the Great Bible came from Switzerland. And then we had French and German. And then finally it got translated into English. The Book of Mormon was given in ancient revised Hebrew, but it was translated directly in English. So it didn't come through that translation, but it still was translated. And so I took the time to look up words judge and judgment in Strong's to see how they define that word. Now, definitions are made by men and the theologians that who have studied these scriptures and the translations of words. Strong's wasn't given by God, but it is a good study and a good material. So if we go back to Isaiah, and let's go to the sixth chapter. I know I wrote this down here, and it's really a good one. Here we go. Chapter 61 of Isaiah. Verse 8. Says, "For I, the Lord speaking to Isaiah, love judgment. I hate robbery for a burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them," speaking of Israel. "But I love judgment." I like what he said there. But how does that match if the Lord says he loves judgment, and then he says, "Judge not that you be judged"? It turns out that wherever the word judge or judgment is used, speaking of the final judgment, in the day that we stand before the judgment bar of God, that the word judge or judgment from Strong's that had that meaning back in Hebrew and in Greek was listed in Strong's as word number 2919. Now that number doesn't mean anything to us except the way it's listed. But the meaning of that word, when it's used in that context, means the final judgment. And indeed, there in Matthew and back in the Book of Mormon where it says, "Judge not," it's concerning the final judgment, or judging a person as to whether they will go to hell or go to heaven. That judgment is reserved for God and God alone, and we're not to make it. And we're not to make it against our fellow man. But it turns out where it says here that the Lord loveth judgment, or where we should gain knowledge and judgment, that comes from a Hebrew word, and it happens to be number 4941 if you want to look it up. But that judgment means to make a decision, to decide, to have discernment, figure out if something is good or evil, but not condemnation or judgment of the person. And that begins to make some sense. You judge the deed, you judge the act, or you judge the words, but you don't judge the person. Now, if we apply that, let's go to 1 Corinthians. And it's chapter 10. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians here in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to start at 13, verse 13, and read through 15. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. We're all in the same boat. We're all going to face the same things. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. And Dylan, that's true. He'll be there to help you. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's important. And then he says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And idolatry doesn't necessarily mean idols. It means any evil thing. And then Paul said to the people, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. So Paul is saying to the people, judge ye what I say. Make a judgment, make a decision. Am I telling you the truth or not? Is this right? If you follow it, will it lead you to good things? He's not saying, judge me, Paul. He's saying, judge what I'm telling you. And that's what we should do as we go through life. Judge things. Are they right or are they wrong? Is it truth or not? But not the person. God's going to do that. I've got several scriptures here. I'd like to read a couple of them because, well, let's go to Luke. And seventh chapter. In the seventh chapter of Luke, this is where Jesus entered into the home, and he chastises them for not washing his feet or giving him things. But she anointed his head with oil, and then he made a judgment. Now, Christ can do that. This is in red. This is the words of Christ. And he said, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but with whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. That is a judgment which Christ was able to make in this life, not at the final judgment. In Corinthians, another type of judgment. If I can find this one, 1 Corinthians, I think it's 11. This has to do with the sacrament. This is a judgment we make. He's talking, I'm going to read 26, 27, 28. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Then it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And this is a type of judgment. This has been read at any number of our sacrament services. It's familiar to all of you that we judge ourselves in the act of, are we in a state of worthiness or not? Are we ready to take the sacrament, the Lord's sacrament? And it says, but let a man examine himself. Not someone else judging you, but you judging yourself. If we stay in Corinthians, there is another one here, and this is a little harder to deal with from a human nature standpoint. Sixth chapter, I believe. Sixth chapter and verse 14. Verse 14. Here Paul is chastising the people for the things that went on in Corinth. Corinth was an evil, wicked city. And he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And of course, he had told us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that God gave us, and we saw that granted here this morning. Therefore, it behooves us to make the right judgment. And here, Paul is real strong. In other words, he's saying, don't get mixed up with people who are doing things you shouldn't be doing. And sometimes that's hard to do. If you're with your friends and they decide to do this or that that is not right, you have to make a judgment. Again, not judging your friends, but judging what is about to happen. Is it gonna lead me astray? Is it righteous or not righteous? And as we go through life, we are called upon to make that judgment daily. Now, human nature being what it is, you're going to be accused of, you're judging me. That will happen. And you have to roll with that punch, because you are called upon to decide what's right and what's wrong. Let me see. Let's go to Galatians. When you're baptized, you make a contract with God. You go into the waters of baptism and show him that you're willing to serve. And he in turn gives you the Holy Ghost, the Spirit that will teach you all things. And then, as Paul has written in any number of his books we were studying this morning in Sunday school in Romans, where he talks about the spiritual person who thinks and lives spiritually. That is, with the goal and the word as our judgment, takes one more step. Not only do you judge right and wrong, but it says in chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," and if you have received the Holy Ghost, you are that spiritual one, "restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Not condemnation, not a put down, but help them in the spirit of meekness. "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Then it says, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." When you perform those kind of acts, brotherly love, help, guidance, those are the works that they talk about in the scripture. And those are recorded. But then the last warning. "But if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." There is a whole list in Romans. We read it this morning in our Bible school, or in our Bible study, of all of the things that cannot separate you from God. Principalities, governments, powers cannot separate you from God. If you want to follow God and want to be his child, there's only one thing that can separate you from God. You. If you decide not to follow him, or do you decide not to do what is written in the word, that will separate you from God. But none of these other things, you have no fear. You can make a righteous judgment. You can decide what is good for you to do and what is not good for you to do. And if someone else wants to do that, then that's their will. And that will separate them from God. We are our own judge and jury. We are the ones that are responsible. I might have one more and then I'll close. In Jeremiah chapter 22, the Lord in verse 1 here is speaking to Jeremiah the prophet, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word." And this is what he told him to speak. "Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong. Do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place." And then he goes on and tells this king what will happen to him if he doesn't listen to that warning. But I thought it was well put with these other scriptures where he says, "Execute ye judgment and righteousness." So don't be afraid to exercise judgment. Don't be afraid to make a decision if things are right or wrong. Just don't extend that judgment to persons, but only to the actions and words and deeds. May the good Lord direct you and bless you. May you have a good day. It's a beautiful day there out there today. God bless.